Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
If the belief and practice of false doctrine did not endanger the souls of men and women, false teachers would not be so strongly condemned in the Scriptures. It might be the subject of intellectual interest, but it would not be worth spending much time examining and refuting. But false doctrine will lead souls astray and cause them to be lost. Is that not what Peter had in mind when he wrote, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." 2 Peter 2:1. As you can readily understand from this reading, false doctrine is not a matter of indifference. It has implications for time and for eternity. There are two expressions in this reading from 2 Peter 2:1 I want to examine briefly. Damnable heresies and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The word damnable comes from the Greek apoleos, which means destructive. The Greek is translated waste, perdition, and pernicious ways. Our word heresies is derived from the Greek word which is used in this context. It literally means a choosing, a school, or a sect. In the King James Version, the word is always rendered either sect or heresy. The word is applied to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees, as well as two divisions which arose within the church. Damnable heresies are those false teachings which deceive and delude men. They cause men to stray from the soul-saving, God-honoring gospel of Christ. The tendency is for modern men, especially modern theologians, to discount the seriousness of teaching and believing false doctrines. But no one could make that mistake when he understands that these doctrines will bring upon the teachers and upon their followers swift destruction. The word destruction is the same Greek word which is translated damnable. The word just shows how serious promoting false doctrine really is. If a false belief will cause men and women to be lost eternally, it ought to be of great concern to all teachers and to all people. We ought to do all within our power to refute it and to bring people to an understanding of the truth, which alone can make men free. Peter does not specifically identify the false doctrines which he had in mind. But it is not difficult to survey church history to know which doctrines have divided the church and led men into error. Paul provides considerable insight into what doctrines were disturbing the churches of Galatia. There were gospel preachers who were making an effort to bind certain portions of the law of Moses on the church. Those preachers apparently believed that a combination of the two laws, the Mosaic Law and the Gospel of Christ, would be better than either alone. They even tried to force circumcision on Titus, a Greek. Paul responded swiftly and uncompromisingly, "To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the Gospel might continue with you." Galatians 2, 3, and 5. Paul was not opposing circumcision as a family tradition or as a national practice. In the Galatian letter, Paul affirmed that in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but being a new creature does. Galatians 6, 15. Anytime a church binds on Christians what God has loosed, the church is overstepping its authority and engaging in false practices, destructive heresies. Every church must examine itself to see if it is preaching another gospel and honoring another Christ. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.